Listen, I say listen. It's the voice of someone shouting, clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and the hills. Straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken. O Zion, messengers of good news, shout from the mountaintop. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout it and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming.
So Satan comes and tries to take the word out of your heart, the word of God. If he is successful, he gets your joy, because joy is a product of something that was spoken by God. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength, when you lose your joy, you become weak, you become helpless, unable to overcome. You become an open target for Satan's attacks. So remember what Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8, verse 10. God's word produces joy, and joy produces strength. So here we are in the book of John 16, 22. And you now have sorrow, but I will see you again, says the Lord, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man can take away from you. We have seen that if no man can take your joy, neither can Satan. He does not have the legal right to do that unless you give him that right. So let's fill our cups with joy as we feast on the Word of God. You are listening to the Gospel Trail.
I have a couple of acronyms for you guys and the audience. I was thinking about when I was in Capernaum, where Jesus called four of his disciples. He said, come and follow me. So I came up with come, C-O-M-E.
Oh, yes. Let's go. I'm ready.
Are you ready?
I got my tablet or paper, pen and paper.
Christ offers or offered me everything. C-O-M-E. He offers me everything. And it's even in the past tense. He's done everything. So come and follow me. Christ offers me everything.
Offers me everything.
I like that one. I do.
That's good.
And then the one is, we used to sing the song, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lift. Lord is forever transforming, or forever transformational. And that, you know, that kind of goes along with, you know, because we need to lift each other up. We need to lift each other up. But first we need to lift him up, and then all men will be drawn unto him.
That's
so if
right.
We
That's
lift
right.
him up. We will be lifted up, and you know that to be true. It is. Every time that we get together, by the as we go through this podcast, it's such a blessing that we're able to do this. I'm just so thankful because the Lord looks at us and he says, boy, there's my boys down there, and they're doing what I've called them to do, and I'm just blessed by that. But if he is lifted up, he'll draw all men unto himself, and that's what we need to do. So
Christmas is a time to let your light so shine, just like the star. What you just said is that's how we should be all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, because mm-hmm. wise men and women still seek him, and where do they find him? I ran to the sanctuary. Mm-hmm. Where was God there? You know, I ran to the woods.
Yeah.
You know, was God there? You know, I went to the town hall. I could not find God. Mm-hmm. You know, where is he? Where do I find him? And we can find him in those places. The Bible does say, one of the verses in the Bible, and which we are going to go through some details of the landscape of the Bible. And I thought it was the New Testament, but we're talking the whole thing here.
So there's more than probably a couple of things you want to refer to.
Yeah. So this is day four, but, you know, probably hour 72 by the time we get done with this thing. Details of the landscape. And one of the Bible verses that I used to see on a bulletin all the time with a lighthouse on it, it mm-hmm. says, "Let your light so shine before men and women mm-hmm. so that they may see your good works, mm-hmm. be drawn
and
unto
glorify.
You.
And glorify you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And glorify you." And that's where I had a problem today. Preparing for this, we're looking for our stories, wisdom, prophecies, you know, everything in the Bible. And then I just started reflecting on myself, my life as a Christian. And so much do we go to a meeting, or we run to another state, you know, because of this speaker or that speaker. Mm-hmm. We're always running. And what are we looking for? You know, something for us. Mm-hmm. Something to fulfill mm-hmm. that need inside. Mm-hmm. But what satisfies that need, I think, is the is praise. Putting those psalms into song, mm-hmm. which they are songs, or putting them just into your life. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know, find a that expository or something, preacher or something that, you know, and that's exactly what Liz and I do. Mm-hmm. She does the music, and I just realized I grab a psalm and start embellishing. That's the word I wanted mm-hmm. on it.
Yeah.
But where does the embellishment come from? You know, it comes from mm-hmm. God's Spirit mm-hmm. because I know not how to pray. I know not how to properly praise. How do I properly praise my God? You know, is it by going to the group meeting every week? Is it by going to church every week? How do I impress or praise God? And there's a song for that one too.
Yeah, when you were asking about favorite stories and things in the Bible, I started listening, you know, just continued listening of things, and I thought, no, we won't have enough time to go through all those. But the thing I thought about
we have enough time. He gave us, what, seven times? What? We got enough years on this earth to get a little practice, and then eternity to continue once we get it right.
Yeah, I like you just saying that, because... You know, this is our learning. This is our, you know, he created us for fellowship with him, and we are to learn to praise him now wherever we are. It's like I share with the guys at the jail. I always tell them, I said, if you want to get out of depression, just start praising the Lord. You know, just start praising the Lord. Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God.
There you go.
And the peace that surpasses all understanding will guide. You know, so I said, that's what we need to do. So then we'll pause and start praising him and thanking him.
That's right.
And that's why I love Psalm 150. That was one of the choices that I had. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Day four, celebrating the Bible, celebrating the Word. Details of the landscape. And here's Brother Don.
This is Brother Don, and for 10 days we are celebrating the Bible. Today is the fourth of the 10 days, and the topic is Details of the Landscape. So now you see the landscape, at least the two parts or two agreements aspect of the landscape. But the Bible is a big book. So there are many details. Those details come in many forms. There are stories, there is poetry, mostly songs, but also wise sayings, and there's prophecy. All of these teach us how to live. You will find these in both the Old Testament and New Testament. There are some who mistakenly believe that the New Testament replaces the Old Testament. Not true. The Bible tells us that the New Testament completes or fulfills the Old Testament. Check out Matthew 5:17. So, you need both. You may want to begin your reading in the New Testament, but it won't be long before you begin to sense that you're missing something. Those who wrote the New Testament were very familiar with the Old Testament, and so they build upon the older revelation of God. The richness and depth of the Old Testament will help you understand the New Testament. Both Testaments give us truth about God and how to live a life for God. You may want to begin with the New Testament, especially with the four accounts of the life of Jesus, which all tell essentially the same story, but with different details. Both the Old and New Testaments were inspired by God, so they are completely trustworthy. But what does the rest of the landscape of the Bible include? There are the early leaders of God's people in Genesis. There is Moses, who leads in the next four books of the Bible. Then there are a series of leaders called judges, who did not control the entire country of Israel, but instead acted as judges or leaders for certain areas of that land. Eventually, the people demanded a king, and they got a king who looked good at the very beginning, but ended up having serious problems. He went from promising and prophetic to problematic and paranoid. The second king was David, who killed a huge giant that threatened God's people. David used only a slingshot. David was one of the best kings, but he was tempted by the sight of Bathsheba taking a bath and gave in to that temptation. This reveals something quite unique about the Bible. Even the best people are shown with their flaws as well. This was unusual in ancient literature, which tended to tell stories of their heroes as if they were perfect. But the Bible tells it all. That is why we can trust the Bible. It does not sugarcoat the truth. There were many generations of kings, some good and many that turned away from God. Eventually, it was just one bad king after another, and the people of Israel did not care about God anymore, with a few exceptions. God then decided that his people needed to go into exile, as a neighboring king conquered the northern part of the country, and about a century and a half later, another king conquered the southern part. They were in exile for quite a few years. Then a king took over that was more friendly towards Israelites, and some of them chose to return to their homeland. There was much rejoicing as the Israelites rebuilt their temple and restored the wall around Jerusalem. Would you like to hear more about the topics of this week? Join us Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central, by calling 720-820-1290. You can ask questions, make comments, or just listen. That's Monday night, and the number is 720-820-1290. The Lord bless you and guide you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I might add that our Monday night, you can download free conference call, and it's just like the name says, it's free. And on the front of it, it says join conference. So the meeting ID is Papa Golf November. I got it right this time. Papa Golf November.
PGN.
PGN. And that'll get you right into the conference room with our hosts and others. And it's an informal roundtable discussion. You know, just come as you are. Yeah, one thing the word does, the you know, we're studying or we're we're celebrating 10 days celebration of the Bible. One thing, the Word, as we call it, from the Word, which the Psalms are, you can get deliverance from sickness. I'm just hitting one area here because I think there's a lot of people listening that can relate to this. The psalm is Psalm 30, with selected verses 2 through 5, 11, and 12. I just opened the Bible and asked the Holy Spirit to read this with me because I know not how to pray. The Holy Spirit will help you. And this is deliverance from sickness. I have been going through a critical time of illness. I have spent nights wandering. My mind wanders, but I wonder what would happen from this sickness. Many questions come up, but your glorious healing Lord has brought me joy. I sing unto you. I give thanks to your holy name. See, it's the psalmist is bringing us into praise, and this is truly praise that I cannot overcome this sickness myself. I need you, Lord. You have turned my sorrow into rejoicing. You took away my garments of sadness and clothed me with thanksgiving. And see, it says he took away the garments of sadness. That's something we put on ourselves. We put on sadness because of what we see around us, and maybe we put on a second garment, a third. Then we start to sweat and struggle. You can't go about your normal tasks burdened by that much clothing. So God took away the garments of sadness and put on me a coat of thanksgiving. You brought me back from the brink of death itself, Lord, and here I am alive. My Lord, my God, I will keep on thanking you forever.
Hallelujah.
And as Sandy said in the beginning, let everything
that has breath
praise the Lord. And even in that, what did God do when he created man? You know, he picked up some dust in the palms of his hand, and he breathed. He breathed on it life. He breathed his breath. So everything that has been given breath, and as we are on here on the earth breathing the air, that's who it's talking about. I will keep thanking my Lord forever.
Yeah, I was letting that sink in, Kevin, about, like you were saying, for the healing. But I'm thinking, you know, as I'm in the, I'm a mature Christian, I've been for many, many years, as I'm getting older, I'm thinking, you know, that I want my last breath to be praising the Lord. I want that. That's the desire of my heart. And that's why I'm going to read Psalm 150 now.
Yes.
It's just so good. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts, which continuous in the Bible. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with a lute and harp. Praise him with a timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
And I mean, that's, you know, you were talking about sadness. You know, we have that sadness if we're not walking in his light, if we're not close to him. And it isn't only us. It's everything that's around us that's bringing sadness.
Just that's right.
Listen to the news.
That's right.
Listen to, quote, unquote, good friends. And they're telling you things that make you sad. And it's like we need to keep our focus on him and him alone.
Right.
Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness.
Fullness.
Not half, but fullness of joy. He wants us. Wow, I'm just done right now. He wants us to be in his presence, to have his fullness of joy. And his Bible, the Bible just includes all sorts of examples of that.
Right.
So when we get to the point, one of my favorite stories that I use at the jail is Luke 15. The prodigal son.
Oh, yes.
Because that parable totally describes, who God the Father is. It is. So I'll share that later. But, I, you know, it's like realizing that we need to start our on our day.
I think there's a little prodigal in each of us.
Yes, there is.
I mean, that's what this was designed for. Anyway, the reader of that parable, or the listener of that parable, when it was told, I mean, it was told to people to prove a point. I mean,
exactly,
just to reveal Jesus,
right, and to reveal the two sons, which were like both sons,
right, and God's glorious healing through that.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, healing isn't just for a broken leg. There's much more to the human body, soul, and mind than the physical.
Yeah, healing for our emotions. You know, healing for our finances. Healing for our relationships. The healing, we have to go to the healer. And he is our source. And that's why another part of the Bible. There's so many parts of the Bible I love. There's just so many. But in John 15, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing.
Right.
And what I do is I'll draw a tree with branches on a whiteboard. I'll draw a tree with branches, and then I'll have the trunk of the tree, the main trunk of the tree, and I'll write Jesus. And then I'll put on each branch, I'll put names of the people that are around, like I'll do in the jail. And then I'll say, I'll take the thing and erase that connection to Jesus. And I said, well, what happens then?
Right, right.
You know, apart from him, we can do nothing. And we're not tied in to the flow of God's strength and his love and his support and his lifting up. We cut that off. And that's what happened in the Garden of Eden. You know, it was cut off. The relationship with God was cut off. So I like that story with the branches about we need to be tied into the vine, and the vine being Jesus.
That's correct. So, Don, Brother Don, do you have any comments?
Well, I've been looking at Psalm 98, which has meant a great deal to me ever since my college years. When I was in a Bible study and we sang a song that went with those words.
Oh, yeah.
But then that was when I used the King James, and I'm looking at the NIV this time. I should have pulled out the translation, the Passion Translation. But anyway, do you want me to sing just a couple lines here?
Oh, please do, Don.
I'll get the lute and the clanging cymbals.
There you go.
I'll be just clanging.
That's my voice. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. For he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have given us the victory. I'm going back to King James. His yep. right hand and his holy arm have given us the victory. And that's all I'm going to sing for now. But I think those are good words.
Those
and
are.
The King James, isn't that wild that the King James just came back and I started singing that instead of what's in front of me?
Right. It's basically, I think, the translation that as a Christian you grew up with.
Mm-hmm.
And the King James was in the crowd I was with was the only word, but I found myself explaining the verses and taking some of the hath gotten him the victory, you know, and take the these and thous and the hath out of the sentences and substituting them for some modern English, and then I discovered the New King James Version that they came out with, and it was doing exactly what I was doing. So I ended up with growing up with the New King James.
Yeah, I'm looking at that Psalm, Don, in the Passion Translation. It says, "Everyone
share that. That's great.
Everyone knows how God has saved us, for he has displayed his justice throughout history. He never forgets to show us his love and faithfulness, how kind he has been to Israel. All the nations know how he stands behind his people and how he saves his own. So go ahead, everyone, and shout out your praises with joy.
Everything that has breath.
Break out of the box and let loose with the most joyous sound of praise. Sing your melody of praise to the Lord and make music like never before. Blow those trumpets and shofars. That's like Psalm 1.
That's right.
Shout with joyous triumph before King Yahweh. Let the ocean waves join in the chorus with their roaring praise until everyone everywhere shouts out in unison, glory to the Lord.
Glory to the Lord.
Glory.
Let
the rivers and streams clap with applause as the mountains rise in the standing
place.
This is getting to me. As the mountains rise in a standing ovation to join the mighty choir of exultation.
When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you forgave someone or asked forgiveness for yourself? When was the last time you heard the angels shout? When was the last time you heard a baby cry? When was the last time you heard the heartbeat of God? When was the last time you felt the Holy Spirit guide you? When was the last time you thanked God for His Son, Jesus? When was the last time you humbled yourself before the Lord? When was the last time you stopped talking and listened? When was the last time you did something for the first time? When was the last time you heard the voice of God?
Look, here He comes, the Lord and Judge of all the earth. He's coming to make things right and to do it fair and square, and everyone will see that He does all things well. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Yes.
So what verse was it that said, break out of the box? That was jarring. That was really amazing.
Break out of the box. Yeah, that's what I saw. I'll let you know where that was, Don.
Maybe about verse 3 or something like that.
98. It's verse 4. So go ahead, everyone, and shout out your praises with joy. Break out of the box and let loose with the most joyous
sound of
praise.
That's right.
98 verse 4.
Right. Oh. Well, you're giving me some inspiration for New Year's Eve. We're going to be praying in
the new year
with a group of people. And from 9 to midnight. Anyway, we're going to be there all of the evening, Liz and I. And Liz is going to be playing music. And I'm going to be using Psalm 98.
Very good.
Well, break out of the box and celebrate New Year's at 1 a.m.
There you go. I don't think they quit. I mean, they're Yeah, they have a time, 24 hours. They're at this hardware store.
Praying.
Just praying and praising. Just a place along the street on the north end of Superior, Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. They're just praising God there. That's the whole.
Think about that. Just praising God.
That's it. Just. Yeah.
Just. It's like just praising God.
Yeah,
it's like, yes, praise God.
We used to have a pastor that would not let us sing songs that said just like that in it. I remember there was a couple of them, because like you just brought up, it diminishes the magnificence of the Lord and what he has done and is doing. You know, words like is just not acceptable.
You can look at it a different way and say, you are just doing that. That's the only thing you're going to do. That's the only thing on your mind, and he is central. So I am just praising the Lord.
That's it. That's it, Don. You got to come along and save me.
That's totally focusing on him. Just. That's all we're going to do. We're just going to do that.
Okay, J-U-S-T, Sandy.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then there's praise, just praise.
Just praise.
I'm writing those down to fill in the blanks later.
Yeah, Jesus unites saints together. J-U-S-T. How does that happen?
I mean, can I get an autographed copy?
that's free to all you listeners,
That's free right there. All of this is free. You can't copyright, or you should not copyright God's word.
Huh.
So Don shared 98. Anything else? And then I'm going to go through. I have to go through the parable of the prodigal son.
Let's do that.
This is
stories, wisdom, prophecy, songs. They all point to the life of Jesus on earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's Luke 15. And if you have a Gideon's Bible, a New King James Gideon's Bible.
Ooh.
It's on page 1016. I say that because I go into the jail, and those are the Bibles that they have. So
they
have
them there. That's right. Well, the mission had those too.
Yeah.
Remember when we were there?
That's right. So here it starts in verse 11. I love the other two parables that precede that. It's the parable of the one lost sheep out of 99. You know, going back. And the second one is the 10 coins that the woman was looking for, couldn't find the 10th coin. And then it starts the prodigal son, starts in verse 11. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. First, you got to realize that the father was still alive, and he's dividing his inheritance to his two sons. Never, that was unheard of during those times.
Right.
You just didn't do that. And the younger, let's see, in verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions. In other words, all the inheritance that the father had given.
They probably did get wasted.
With prodigal living. Prodigal living.
That's what that means.
Prodigal not.
Prodigal, meaning their lifestyle is described in the verses there.
Right. So then it goes on and says, but when he had spent all, he didn't save anything, nothing in reserve.
Mm.
There arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Have we lived that way where we were crazy and did whatever we wanted to and spent everything that we had? And then we were in want. Has that been us?
That's right.
Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. Now, here's a Jewish boy, a Jewish son. The swine were, the pigs were the least clean animals and Jewish people were to stay away. So here he had the worst.
Considered unclean.
Unclean. He had the worst possible job. He was given the worst possible job. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate. He couldn't even eat the pods that the swine were eating. And no one gave him anything. I like this, verse 17. But when he came to himself, when he came to himself.
The light came on.
Right. And that's a good question to always ask ourselves. You know, are we, where are we at in our relationship with him? And where are we in relationship with what we want versus what he wants in that relationship with us? But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you.
Mm.
And that's a great verse, because our sin is before God the Father. It's not necessarily to the people around us. First, we sin against him because we're breaking his commandments and what he's laid out for us. And I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Boy, that's really reaching low. Make me like one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. I'm going to cry here. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Mm.
You know, so you think about it, you think about, you know, he gave him that part of the inheritance. And I keep getting the pictures that he was waiting for him to come back. His father was waiting for him to come back. And so when he saw him, he was filled with compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Now, you got to realize, he was just coming out of the swine pit. You know, so he was stinky.
He needed
and
some
dirty.
Clothes. Needed some clothes.
Dirty. And, yeah. And so what does his father say? Bring out the best robe and put it on him.
Mm.
And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And the ring signified the father's household. That this was a ring. This was a signet ring of their family. And so the father was making a statement, is that this is my son, and he who was lost is back, because all the townspeople were just kind of chattering and saying, look at how your son is living, and what kind of a father are you, and all that. And so he's going against all the people that are around him. But and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Let us celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and because he has received him safe, the father has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. So here we go. Here, mm-hmm. we're going to put ourselves in this spot. But the oldest son, he was angry and would not go in.
Oh, boy.
Therefore, his father, listen to this,
yep.
his father came out and pleaded with him.
That sounds like a lot of family gatherings around Thanksgiving. People are trying to prepare themselves to go because of, you know, uncle so-and-so or brother or sister so-and-so. You know, they're always that way. You know, and the thing to do is just like that psalm said earlier about the sickness, to take off those layers and just be yourself.
Those garments of sadness.
The garments of sadness. Don't bring them, literally, don't bring them into the house.
Oh, my. Let that sink in for a while.
Yeah. I mean, it's why the Bible says, you know, we should enter his gates
with thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, not sadness. Enter it with thanksgiving, and joy will ensue.
Right. Enter his courts with praise. So the father came out and pleaded with him. Now this is, I always say, this is an example, a true example of God the Father. He will pursue us. He is always coming after us. It's a, you know, like it says in Revelation, he stands at the door and knocks. Are you going to let me in? So he answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment, like his younger brother, at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son, he doesn't even call him his brother. He says, but as soon as this son of yours came.
I've heard that phrase before.
Yeah. Who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him.
Ooh.
So he's really putting it to his father. Yes.
You need to put a whine in that voice. This is very whiny, I think.
Oh, well, do you want to read that?
Let's have the Brother Don whine translation.
I've been slaving for you and never, never disobeyed your orders. And you never gave me so much as a goat to have fun with my friends. Okay, that's a little exaggerated.
Henry, go talk to your son.
There you go. Yeah. He has devoured your livelihood with harlots, and yet you killed the fatted calf for him.
Yes.
Wah, wah, wah.
Wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
And then the father comes back. This is just great. Verse 31. And he said to him, the father says, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours.
Wow.
That's where we go to that come, follow me. Christ offers me everything. That's where the tie-in is. And he ends with on verse 31. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead in his sins, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. I love that story because I think I shared before how I came to the Lord, and my wife was saying that she was desperate the night before we were going to have our final counseling session to divorce, and she cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered her and said, Cheryl, I've been waiting for you to come back to me all those years.
Mm.
And that's the tie-in with the prodigal son. He is always pursuing. He is always waiting. He is always there.
He is. Yeah,
it's
he
just
is.
That
yeah.
Do we choose to be with him? Do we choose to praise him? Do we praise him even during our trials? Another part of the Bible that I love is the book of James. James 1. You know, count it all joy for your various trials and that. But he wants us, because he never leaves us, he is always with us, and those are the details that we need to remember. And he deserves our praise. He deserves our praise and thanksgiving.
You know, that oldest son had no reason to whine and complain, because the oldest son got a double portion of the inheritance.
That's true.
Twice as much. So why is he complaining? I mean, his younger son took part of the estate, that's true, but he's not counting the fact that he's rather fortunate in being the oldest.
Right.
Yeah, he's kind of looking at, you know, I've been serving. I always like that. Well, you all these years. And he's not happy, you know, because he hasn't. And his father said, it's always been here.
Right.
We could have had a party any time. It's always been here.
Right.
And yet you did not. So where are you coming from? Why? You know, your brother, which he doesn't even call him his brother. It's this son of yours.
That's right.
The oldest one is so ticked off.
Right.
You know, and he wouldn't come in. But, you know, there's a real lesson with that, is that we need to see people as God sees us.
Right.
As the Father sees us. We need to come from that perspective. And I even talked with somebody yesterday, and I said, because I heard the person judging, and I felt my faith, you know, being trampled on, or that it was sadness and stuff. And I said, mercy triumph over judgment. And that stopped the person right in their tracks.
Yes, it does.
Wow. You know,
because we are to think more highly of each other than ourselves. We are, I mean, the Bible is just complete with that. You know, it's like, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble yourself. He was humble. Realizing that that we are to be merciful, just like in that story, The father had compassion when
he did.
When he saw him, when he saw him from a distance, and he ran to him.
Right.
He ran to him. This he was just filthy, stinky, and everything. Bring the best robe. Think about that. He hasn't even cleaned up and put my ring on his finger, and I'm announcing that he's alive again. It's really the resurrection. It's the story.
It's
of
the story.
The gospel.
It is, and what that is, God addressing sin,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to address your sin. Man should not address the sin, but God does mm-hmm. and will address your sin. And Romans 8:12 says, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You know, and why? I mean, this is summarizing the parable you just brought forward, and God, Jesus himself, died on the cross so that we now have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by it, it dictates what you do, and you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And that's why we call him Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can now call him Father.
Yeah, it changed everything. I mean, the resurrection changed everything, because now we have the power through the Holy Spirit to not be obligated to sin.
No, we don't have that obligation that mm-hmm. somehow just keeps us driving at that. Mm-hmm. I mean it, and it comes out in many ways. You know, but that's the sinful nature of man that stirred up. You can say the devil made me do it or whatever, but that's something we have to realize and run to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Just run to the Father with thanksgiving and praise.
Like in James 1:14, God cannot be tempted. So when we say God tempted me, or that the path to sin is an equation, desire and temptation equals sin. Desire plus temptation equals sin. Remove one of those two things, either the desire or the temptation, Satan loses his power. Which brings me to the equation that we had, that we even shared last week. Remember what that equation was, Kevin?
Yeah, that's not the new math. That's no brag, just fact. Man plus... Well, a rock was the...
Yeah, that's what started it.
What started it, man plus rock equals nothing. But if you add Jesus to the equation,
yeah.
Man plus Jesus makes everything else prosper and grow and flourish and live life.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens
yep.
me. I can do all things. And he deserves our praise, just like
right.
that Psalm 150. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that I have victory over sin. Thank you that I don't
have... You have victory over sin. Who dares accuse us
mm-hmm.
whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself.
So are you saying God chose us?
You are chosen,
What do you think
Sandy.
Of that, Don?
You
what
are
do you
chosen,
think of that?
Sandy.
You are chosen, Don. You are chosen. And you listeners that are out there, if you've made the decision that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, then you are chosen. He has been calling you, and you are chosen, and you're a part of the family.
That's
of
right.
His family.
And nothing can ever separate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just talking about us here, but you can join. You know, ever have that come to Jesus moment? I know several that have had that in the most
profound.
Mysterious and profound ways, but we can have that and keep that. Just remember that. That's, I think, what the Bible calls your first love,
mm-hmm.
that just turn back to that, mm-hmm. because nothing can ever separate us from God's love. not death, not life, neither angels nor demons, whether you believe in them or not. Mm-hmm. There's something shaking the jar.
Mm-hmm.
There's something just shaking your environment. There's something, and neither are fears. There's a lot of fear in this world, and fear is also used to control your daily habits. Fear for today, nor worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation, because God created it, and will ever be able to separate us from the love of God.
Ooh.
And that, my friend, is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. For God has not given us a spirit of fear.
No.
But of power, love, and sound mind. Not confused. Sound mind. Power, love, and sound mind. So where does fear come from? It comes from the enemy.
Right.
It comes from the enemy, because once we realize that nothing can separate us, and he's done, like I said, when he says, come, Christ offers me everything. He can't offer me anymore. He's done it all. He's given us all that we need to prosper, to be abundant. And his requirement is, draw near to me, stay close to me, and trust me. And
right.
We will have this adventure to share life, because it's life.
Take off, giving life. Take off that
the clothing
of sadness. And he's standing there with a coat of righteousness.
Yes, hallelujah.
Right inside the door to his temple.
I love it. I just love it.
Just come on in and put this on.
Thank you, Lord. I'm giving you this, and I'm taking away your sadness and those clothes of defeat.
The Father said, get the best garments. He's standing there with the coat of righteousness to put upon you. It just, as far as the east is from the west, he has put away your sins and bad doings. I mean, that's all in the past. Your future is righteousness with God and his Spirit through his Son.
Right. And part of what you were saying, I remembered that part of the psalm that we used to sing, that you were saying, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing for thee. Thou hast girded my sackcloth, you know. And he has taken that sackcloth, and he has turned our mourning into dancing.
Mourning into dancing, that's right.
So dancing and shouting praise, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let our bodies
be back to it. And it's
complete. The Bible is complete with that. He just wants us to spend time with him, enjoy being in his presence, and he says, I'm going to just keep giving it out, that love and that support and that strength. And all we have to do, our role is to receive it and give him praise.
Receive, realize,
right.
Reciprocate.
Right. Respond.
Respond.
He wants us to respond. Wow.
Liz, can we have some music? Father in heaven, you are everywhere. Close to everything, next to everyone, immediately accessible to every seeking heart. You are both far off and near. You are in every spot of the universe, and you are also right beside me. You are over all things. You are under all things. You are within, but not enclosed. You are without, but not excluded. You are holy, above, presiding. You are holy, within, filling. As I contemplate your omnipotence, I rejoice because of the fullness of joy I have found in your presence. I feel you so very near as I worship and praise you. Psalm 139, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And that was a different song. but Lord, just keep the words coming from our mouth, the praising, the goodness of your Son, the just the mighty acts that you have done. You have thundered in the heavens. You have sent out arrows. The abundant lightnings are now an utterance of your voice. At your rebuke, the foundations of the world are laid bare. Your command and the mighty oceans to keep within the limits you have appointed. It's just like we talked about the sun in the sky. It heats us, keeps us well. If it was a little bit further away, we would all die of freezing. If it was a little bit closer, we'd all be burnt up in its heat. When the howling storms of doubt and fear attack me, I can quietly trust in you with total confidence that you are all-powerful. Satan is potent, but you are omnipotent, omnipotent. Your sovereign majesty presides, produces radiant doxologies that fill my soul. You strengthen me, help me, and uphold me by your righteousness, your omnipotent hand. And from the Psalm in Isaiah, we say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So all you listeners out there, if you've felt lonely, he is knocking at your door and wanting you to come in. And so please contact us. You know, if you've made that decision that you want to make him Lord and Savior, that he will never leave you or forsake you, and that in his presence is fullness.
And the number to contact us is 218-461-0164 is our text line. However, you may leave a voice message if we're away from the phone.
Bless all of you until we meet.
Happy trails.
That's
been in my brain all week long, and it just doesn't
happy
go with
trails.
It doesn't
that's
go
right.
with the theme.
Yeah, that's
the gospel trail.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Thanks, Brother Don. You've got to get back to your phone calls, probably.
Yeah. Oh. Take care. We'll see you next week, the Lord willing.
All right. Yes, the Lord willing. Bless you, brother.
Hear Gospel Network is an intergenerational, Christ-centered, not-for-profit internet mission church, a network of believers from many different backgrounds who are passionate about reaching out to others. Your Voice in the Wilderness, a church online since 98, now known as pgn.church, operates 100% on your tax-deductible donations.